Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Bible this morning, be finding Romans chapter 12. Going to be in two verses there, but we're going to look at some other verses as well. I wanted to preach on revival this morning because that's what's on my heart. Our country needs revival. Our county needs a spiritual awakening. Our churches need the Spirit of God to move on them. But you know, the Lord wouldn't let me preach on that subject this morning. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the will of God. How many of you have ever struggled with the will of God for your life? If you hadn't got your hand up, you're lying to me. And I've had countless people ask me, how do I know God's will for my life? How do I know what God wants for me to do? And then others of us, if you're like me, oftentimes know what God's will, and you kind of buck in God's will, don't want to do it. Well, if that's the boat you're in this morning, that boat's going to sink because God's will is going to be done. But, y'all, I've got a bad knee, and they're wanting to replace this knee. My doctor told me, he said, well, you'll come looking for me when it's time. And so I understand about sitting up, standing down, and all that, because I'm old now. But could y'all honor God's word just one more time today by standing to your feet if you can? Romans 12. If you can't stand, that's okay. Billy Mills, not standing, but he'll honor God's word in his heart this morning, right where he sits. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've got my three deacons right here under the spout where the glory comes out. And it's a blessing to have these three brothers here. Jay, why don't you ask God to bless the word today, would you?
Father, thank you so much for your word, God. Thank you for the record that you left, God, telling us how to get right, how to stay right, and how to get others right. This morning, God, we're asking that you speak to our hearts.
Yes, Father.
Are better than our ways. God, you've been so good to us in the past, and we know we're going to trust you, God, to be the same good God in the future. And so, God, make it plain to us this morning. I pray you make your word real to us this morning. And, God, during the invitation and the decision-making time, God, that we would mind you this morning and obey the will of God for our lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. I think most of us do struggle with God's will from time to time. A lot of you, are wanting to know what God's will for your life is. And I've got some good news for you this morning. God doesn't play hide and seek with His will. I said God does not play hide and seek with His will. He wants to reveal His will to us. And it's our responsibility to do His will. Now, there's a lot of scripture that talk about God's will for our lives on this. And if you have your Bible or you have an iPhone or iPad or some kind of mobile device, let's look at just three or four scriptures together, just something daily concerning the will of God for our lives. Could we do that? Can we do that? You know we're going to do it anyway. So go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Just turn right. 1 Thessalonians in your Bible. Just a few books. And I want to give you some scriptures here about the will of God before we get into the meat of the message. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. That's where it is. Okay. 1 Thessalonians, right after the book of Colossians. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this, are you there? All right. For this is the will of God. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Here's God's will. Your sanctification. That word, that's a big word for growing in godliness, okay? That you should abstain from sexual immorality. Has the church forgotten all about that? Have we not? That is God's will for our lives, that we should abstain from sexual immorality. That's a hard one to say amen to, but I want God's best, don't you? And so, number one, we know that it's God's will on a daily basis for us to abstain from any kind of sexual immorality. Now, look at chapter 5 and jump down to verse 18. And this is a tough one. This is God's will. Chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Everything? Everything. All things? All things. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for who? For who? Yeah. And so we're to give thanks in everything. We're to be thankful for all things. Y'all do know that God's working for your good and His glory, don't you? All right. And so jump on over to the little book. Turn right again to the little book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, I just wanted you all to see some of these. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 15 says, "For this is the will of God. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." You can heap coals of fire on your enemies by doing good works. It's God's will that we might be found doing good. Look at your neighbor and say, "Be good." I tell you what, y'all got a little, just a little bitty tiny streak of rebel in you. All right. Now jump over to chapter 3 and look at verse 17. So it's God's will to abstain from sexual immorality. It's God's will to be thankful in everything. We know it's God's will on a daily basis to be doing good for others. And then verse 17, chapter 3, verse 17, "For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good," "than for doing evil." So we also know from time to time it's God's will for all of us to suffer. Isn't that a blessing? And so those are just some things that when you do a Google search on the will of God, you're going to find some daily issues that were to be about this called the will of God. But now, having said that, there's nowhere in the Word of God that tells us we're to go out here and find the will of God. You see, it's God's responsibility to reveal His will to us. It's our responsibility when He reveals it just to do it. And one of the reasons I think that we don't always know what the will of God is because we're not willing to do it. Y'all know God knows everything, right? He's omniscient. He knows everything. And so you may be here this morning and you've got to get to the place where you're willing to do whatever it is that God wants you to do. And boom, when you get to that point, He's going to give it to you. And so if we can get a little Holy Ghost help this morning, everybody in this room is going to walk out of here knowing what the will of God is for your life. I could have charged y'all $250 a pop to come in here for this. But we're going to give it to you for free. It's right straight from the Word of God. Are you ready? I was listening about, it was back in 07, to a message from one of my favorite preachers, Dr. James Merritt, on this very subject. And I remember his first point that day of his sermon, I want to use it because it's coming right out of the Word of God here, is that we need to be willing to surrender to God's will unconditionally. You got to be willing to surrender to God's will unconditionally in order to know what God wants you to do. You see, what God does, I told you He doesn't play hide and seek with His will, but what God does, He looks into our heart, into our spirit, into our soul, and ascertains whether or not we're open to doing His will. And then when He sees that we're that our amen is yes, then He reveals His will to us. Now, let me say this. If you're not willing to do whatever God wants you to do, you might pack your stuff up and go to the car, because this message isn't going to do you any good. God never waste His time dealing with us on His will if He knows we're not going to do it. Right? And so we need to get to the point this morning where we're willing to surrender to God's will unconditionally. You see, what we really need to have an understanding of is this. God's got a better plan for my life than I do. God knows what's best. He has a better plan for your life, and it's for your good, but it'll also be for His glory. And so, having said that, I'm going to take this right out of these two verses of Scripture. Surrender to God unconditionally. How do we do that? All right, let's go back to Romans 12. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, now listen to this, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. We're to present our bodies on a daily basis, unconditionally surrendered to His will. Now, when you put those two words together, living sacrifice, that sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? In other words, those things seem mutually exclusive, don't have anything to do with one another. Because in the Old Testament, the priest would take a whole animal and lay that entire animal up on the altar. And if the sacrifice was done exactly the way God had told the priest to do it, that sacrifice would be pleasing to the Lord, and then that sacrifice would be consumed by fire. So what does it mean to offer your body a living sacrifice? It simply means that you're willing to turn every area of your life over to the Lord as a willing sacrifice. Lord, here's my sex life. Lord, here's my family life. Lord, here's my sometimes this is the last thing we turn over. And Lord, here's my social life. Here's my job life. It's all yours. I turn it over to you. I'm ready to do what you want me to do. Go where you want me to go. Say what you want me to say. I am yours. You are mine. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of serving you. I'm ready to do your will. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. To present your body, all of it. Well, how in the world, Pastor, can I do that? How can I give my entire life? By the way, isn't that what Jesus did? He gave His all for us, didn't He? A living sacrifice. Well, how do I offer my body? How do I give my all to Him? How do I surrender everything to Him? He tells us by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. How many of you have experienced the mercy of God? Everybody, well, three over here. How many of y'all over here have experienced the mercy of God? All right, several of you. Let me just kind of illustrate it like this. How many of y'all like to go to the beach? Oh, come on now. Let's just, y'all head down to the beach later on in the summer. And they've got one of those red flags up, you know, on the beach, but you don't care. You go out anyways. And you get caught in one of those riptides. And that riptide God just carries you out and you're swimming to beat the band and you can't get out of that rib tie and you're getting more tired and finally you start going down. And then you black out. You lose consciousness. But bless God, there was an old lifeguard up there on the beach and he saw what was going on and he swoops out there with his jet ski, fishes you out of the water, throws you on the back of that jet ski, gets back to the land, gives you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and beats on your heart a little bit and you come back to life. Would y'all be grateful? Some of you look like you'd be mad. You ought to see what I'm looking at. You would owe him your life, wouldn't you? Think about what Jesus has done for you. Oh my goodness! He has given us life! Life abundant! Life eternal! And he keeps on giving life. Do this with me. Who gave you the ability to breathe? He did. Who put the oxygen right there at the end of your nose? He did. And so by the tender mercies of God, the one who saved me, the one who has given me everything that I have and made me all that I am, I can offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him. That's what it means to surrender to His will unconditionally. And by the way, Paul goes on to say, which is your reasonable service. The word reasonable means rational. It just makes good common sense. It just makes good common sense to surrender to His will. Couldn't we use some common sense today? In our country? In our Congress? Oh my goodness, in the cabinet? In the county? In our city? In our churches? It just makes good sense. Reasonable. Rational. And that word service there means worship. You know what, y'all? We have done a terrible disservice to that word. Worship doesn't just happen up here on Sundays. Worship is how you live your life. How you act at the grocery store. How you act at the ball game. Oh, my. He's meddling now. Worship, how you offer your body a living sacrifice 24/7 every single day of the week. And I want to tell you, I've been thinking a lot about Jesus in this message. And y'all, if He can give His all for me, and He did, and He can die like He did for me, and He did, and He's placed His Spirit within me, surely I can live for Him. If you want to know God's will for your life, you got to get to the point that you surrender, that you're willing to surrender to His will unconditionally without any strings attached. And you can do that. You can offer your body a living sacrifice because of His tender mercy and grace. And it just makes good sense to do that. I'm doing some halfway decent preaching now, y'all. If y'all will get with me and help me a little bit. Here's the second thing I want to say to you about God's will. Not only should we surrender to God's will unconditionally, we should seek God's will totally. Now look at verse 2. Now do y'all see there's two words in verse 2 and they're key words. And I don't know if you write in your Bible. If you don't write in your Bible and you think that's heresy, write those two words down, conform and transform. Do you see them there? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Conform, transform. Two important words. Now the word conform means to so like the behaviors and the beliefs and the structure and the worldview of the way of the world that we live in is that we're willing to conform to its ways. It's kind of like have y'all ever seen a chameleon on National Geographic? And those chameleons, their color. Why do they do that? To blend in with their surroundings, right? Well, sadly, that's what a lot of us do in our culture. Instead of being transformed, we conform to the ways of this world. This came real clear to me. A few years ago, I was in Waynesboro at E.W. James Grocery Store. Is that place still there, or have they gone bankrupt? Okay, Cash Savers. Everything in Waynesboro, it's a struggle financially down there. But I was in line wanting to pay for my groceries, and I had just gotten in the grocery line, two or three people ahead of me, and this was back in Britney Spears' heyday. There was one of these big Star magazines on the magazine rack in the aisle, and she was half-dressed, I mean half-naked. And there was a part, I'm just going to go ahead and confess, there was a part of me that wanted to grab that Star magazine and get a closer look. Preachers aren't any different from y'all. We struggle with the same stuff. But bless God, right beside the Star magazine, there was these foot-long Snickers bars, and they were on sale. And so I picked that Snickers bar up to see how much it cost, what the price was on it, and all of a sudden I heard behind me, "Hello, Brother Cal." I was so glad I picked that Snickers bar up instead of that Star magazine looking at Britney Spears. God wants to transform us rather than our being conformed to the ways and the image of this world. Now, you know that word transform. You learned it in biology class, if you didn't flunk. The word transform means metamorphosis. Y'all remember now? We forgot. All right. One of God's ugliest, slimiest, grossest, is that a word, grossest? Looking creatures is one of these little creepy crawler things called a caterpillar. Aren't those things ugly? I mean, they're slimy looking. They're ugly in color. And they've got all these, you know, and they're going up and down, and you know, they're just gross. But when it's the right time, that caterpillar will spin a cocoon. And in just a few short weeks, a transformation takes place. And a gorgeous, beautiful what comes out of that cocoon. And you see, that butterfly is beautiful on the outside and gorgeous looking on the outside because a transformation took place on the inside. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to get on the inside and transform us into His image so that, oh come on y'all, so that we begin to look like Him and act like Him and talk like Him. He's a transformer. And we're going to conform to this old world. How does He transform us? By the renewing of your mind. How does He renew our mind? How many times have you heard Billy Graham say, "For the Bible says, for the Bible says, for the Bible says, for the Bible says"? How many times have you heard our Sunday school teacher, Billy Walker, say, "Get in the Word of God, read the Word of God, do what the Word of God says, apply the Word of God"? Brothers and sisters, the way our minds are renewed is by being obedient to God's Word. And little by little, each and every day, He renews our minds. We begin to think like God does, and talk like Him, and speak like Him, and walk like Him, act like Him, and look like Him. You see, as a child of God, gets into the Word of God, he sees the Son of God and is changed by the Spirit of God from glory to glory. Woo! That's what it means to seek God's will totally. by allowing a transformation to take place. And if you'll surrender to God's will unconditionally this morning, and you'll seek God's will totally this morning, guess what? You'll see God's will completely.
All right.
Say that with me. See God's will completely. Everybody together, see God's will completely. And John 7:17 says, "For he that wills to do the will of God, he shall know the doctrine." In other words, that one verse in John 7:17 is telling us, if you're willing to surrender to God's will and seek God's will, you're going to get God's will. He's going to reveal it to you. He's going to tell you what it is. And I will tell you, when you get God's will, whoo, nothing better. Look at these words here. He says that can y'all tell I'm excited about this? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. First of all, the will of God is good. It's profitable. That word good there means profitable. God's will is profitable. How many of you like to make a profit? You want to profit spiritually? Then just get obedient to God's word and His will. By the way, obedient to God's, that's one of our core values here at Second Mile. God's word is profitable. It's for your best. And I want to tell you, as I was praying for this sweet military family here, you'd be better off in a foxhole in Afghanistan in the center of God's will than crossing the street out here on Riverside Drive out of God's will. God's will is profitable. God's will is pleasing. Acceptable, that means pleasing. God's will is pleasing. I've had several of you all tell me, "Pastor, Cal, you just seem like you're so happy." Amen. Guess what? I'm like Fruit of the Loom. I feel good all under. You know why? Because I am in the center of what God wants me to do now. I feel like I've been set free. Not because of who I am, but because of who He is. And what He's telling. God's got a better plan for Cal Hampton than I do. God's best is what's best for me. It's what's best for you. God's will make you happy. Yeah. God's will make you smile. God's will help you to show those molars to everybody every now and then. God's will is best for us. Look at your neighbor and say, "He's right." And then God's will, oh my, is perfect. Does it get any better than that? Does it get any better than perfect? So why do we fight against it? Huh? I've got another confession to make today. These three brothers know what I'm talking about. I spend a lot of time praying, reading my Bible in cemeteries. I spend a lot of my time burying people in cemeteries. And you know, in every graveyard you go in, just about, the whole of in Montgomery County, There's tombstones everywhere, gravestones, headstones, whatever you call those things. And they've got writing on them. Did y'all know there's a tombstone up in Pennsylvania that says, I kid you not, "I told you I was sick." It's slowly getting around to all the room. On a tombstone, there's a birth date. Well, there's usually a name of whoever the deceased is. And there's a birth date and a death date. Assuming that the one's, you know, that's buried there has dead. There's sometimes they'll go ahead and put the living one down, and even though he or she hadn't died yet. By the way, I don't need to get off on that. But there's a birth date and there's a death date, and in between there's a what? Dash. If you're an English major, that's a hyphen. You listen to the pastor this morning. We're on that hyphen right now. What does your dash look like? Huh? Is God transforming your life by the renewing of your mind? Are you offering your body as a living sacrifice? Are you not only knowing but doing the will of God for your life? What is your dash? What does your hyphen look like this morning? Because I want to tell you, if Jesus tarries, we're all going to the graveyard. And then somebody, as soon as they get you in the ground, they're going to go back to the church and they're going to have fried chicken and potato salad in your honor. And they'll start talking. Oh. He sure practiced what he preached. Anybody know what 1 John 2:17 says? He who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, it's not God's will that any might perish, but that all might come to repentance. It's God's will that everybody in this church house might become a child of God. That's God's will. He loves you so much that He paid the price for all your sin. And if you would receive what He did for you by faith, surrendering to Him by calling on His name, guess what? He'll receive you and give you a brand new heart, give you a new life. And then one day, when you stand before Him, you'll be able to say these words, Lord, I wasn't perfect, but to the best of my ability and the filling of your Spirit, I was able to accomplish your will for my life. Would you bow your head with me? Everybody in the building, Lord, during this time of invitation, oh, I pray, Lord, that there's one or two or 10 or 20 here that not know Lord and Savior, that today's the day that we'd be willing to repent with words like these, Father, I know I'm a sinner, and I know my sins have separated me from you. And Lord, I'm so sorry for my sin. Thank you for paying the price for my sins. Thank you for taking my place. And I receive that gift of salvation today that Jesus wrought on a cross. He's alive this morning. Right now, I give you my life. I surrender all. You're my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Friend, if you prayed like that this morning, and you really, I believe God kept marching into your life today. Just now. Do you need to be willing to confess Him publicly? He really saved you from all that mess. You need to take your stand for Christ today. We're going to ask that you would just come. I'll be down front to receive you. If you pray and ask God to save you, I want to give you something today in your talk to you about some other things that need to be done. But it's your decision. You got to take that step. And the rest of you are here, and God has laid something else on your heart. And you need to just come to pray. There's an old-fashioned altar. You come, and we'll pray over you and pray with you. Lord, help us to be obedient to your Spirit.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.
And your word today, in Jesus' name I ask, amen.